Valuetown is a production of HearthSim. Find out how to support Valuetown by going to patreon.com/valuetown.
It is our town.
Welcome!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 184 of Valuetown. I'm Champion V, and of course, Gar is here joining me as always. What's up, buddy?
Doing awesome. Okay. Changing my sleep schedule so I have more energy when I do
Valuetown. Man, I need to do that, dude. I've been saying that for like a year now, and I still haven't changed my sleep schedule. No
it
joke.
It took me 4 years, so.
4 years? Okay. Well, I haven't done better than you yet because I haven't done it yet.
You still have time.
Right. But I want to welcome our special guest, the really special guest this week, given that we're so happy for him. Tyler's joining us from Vietnam. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing even more awesome than
you are. That's right, he is.
Pretty sure.
It's super late over there, though, so I really, definitely appreciate you hopping on, given that it's like...
Yeah, I took your advice. I took a nap, and I actually just woke up an hour.
Oh, did you? Okay, cool. Then you got a lot of energy then. All right, excited. Definitely good. All right, so today we've got a couple events to talk about. Obviously, APAC playoffs with Tyler here and DreamHack Montreal happening exactly the same time. I don't know why we keep doing that. We keep putting events together. And then we've got the Metapulse as usual and some Q&A at the end. And a little bit of drama here in the APAC playoffs. So we'll definitely touch on that, given that we don't get a chance to talk too much about drama these days in the Hearthstone space. So we'll touch on that. But our week in Hearthstone started off that way, as always. Gara, anything you want to talk about this week? Any climbing, any cool decks you might have come across?
Well, I'm like maintaining around top 100 on two servers of Shadowbox Shaman. And
yeah,
it's like it's very hard for me to find a different deck that is good against everything. Shadowbox Shaman is like the only deck. It has bad matchups, like Orc Rogue is a bad matchup, Death Rattle Hunter, yeah. And itself is a bad matchup oftentimes. But it's the only deck I found right now that I can queue and I don't feel like, oh my God, this is like an out to lose matchup. So I want to play more different decks. Today I've seen two special ones, which we will talk about later. The one from Savish and from Thais. So maybe I will give those a shot.
Yeah, those are fun. We'll definitely. I mean, we can talk about them now. You want to just talk about them now?
The first one is Thais Paladin deck. Thais actually loves this type of deck. He always played it. He played it before the cards rotated out. What is the free drop called? There was like a free drop legendary. Whenever you play a spell, it refreshes your hero power. And once that card rotated out, basically everyone stopped playing this archetype just because it seems unplayable because there's no real OTK you can do.
Yeah. And you need to move your mic closer again.
The 5-drop that gave you coins rotated out, so it there was like no OTK version. So what Thais did, he plays all he plays pandas, and what he basically does is like you play Uta, and then you press the button and get the good tokens and bounce them back till you have all of them, and then you play three of them, and then you will automatically get the fourth mana and get an OTK this way. Seems very gimmicky. But I faced someone who on top 50 legend earlier today, and Thais is top 5 legend apparently and has very good stats. So this is definitely a deck that nobody else plays. This is like brand new. So that's cool to see that you can come up with new stuff that is not from Agents Replay.net and that is performing really well. And the other deck is Savish Big Priest. I talked about this a lot on Valuetown over the past month or so.
Really? I don't remember you bringing this up, really.
No, about the priest legendary spell, that this card definitely has potential, but it's like the most difficult deck to build because the card itself is really, really good. The 9 mana.
Oh, yeah, the Xerix cloning. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much crazy potential. There's OTK potential and for big priest and whatnot, but the deck itself to build is very, very difficult. And apparently this is like, let's call it the first good version because Asmodai was playing it, Sho was playing it, Savish was playing it, and all of them were doing well with it. So I'm pretty sure that people will try to improve this deck, and this might be like a viable deck. And it doesn't really...
Oh, man. There's nothing more frustrating than when Radiant Elementals are on the board and Lyra is just literally cycling over and over and over. Holy crap. It's
crazy. Decks in general are like so hard to build. And it doesn't surprise me that it took like a month now before we've seen this deck for the first time. So I can see this deck being like very, very... Or this archetype being like tier 1 or tier 2, whatever. I haven't played it yet, but...
Interesting. This is actually the first time I've seen these decks.
Are you serious? Okay.
Yeah, I've been off the map for a few days. I've just been resting. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the first time I've seen it, but they look really cool. I actually don't know how the hero power on Uther works. Can you explain it? Like, what is the order in which you get them? Like, if you bounce one back, how do you get the other ones?
It is random if nothing is on the board.
Oh, really?
I faced an opponent. So they just press the button. If you get a different one, you just bounce it back. But it's actually not even that hard to do because you only need two. If you are on the coin, because of the free drop that refreshes your hero power, you just need two different ones and you almost always get two different ones. And then you can play them first. And if you play them on board, you will always get a different one. So
yeah, it will never repeat. Like it will never repeat, like have repeats on the board. So you always get a unique one. Yeah.
I had a game. I played Control Lock, and with Control Lock, you played the demonic project, and I had Rin, so I Azarried him, and I still lost because he got three times a different one, and he bounced three different ones back, and then you lose because you just play all.
Yeah,
it's
actually not
that unlikely, I think, to get different ones.
Yeah, I mean it's a really interesting deck. I mean, I've seen this deck some, but it hasn't had as much success as this version. And I think the little changes I see in this version are like Crystal Smith Kangor and like Call to Arms. I don't think I saw Call to Arms very much in the previous versions of this. And then Shrink Bay has been amazing too, like as a way to, you know, just clear boards too. So this has like a few different changes that seems to have like really upped the just the win rate on or at least the success that a lot of like higher level legend players have been having. But I played this deck a few times, and it's been tough to actually beat. You know, if you play anything remotely control, you're just dead, like for the most part against this deck. The priest one I played maybe about four times in the last like two or three days. I think it's probably because, you know, they were just, you know, Savitz and Tyze and all these guys were posting about it. But this one again, like it was surprising how consistent. Like I lost times when Zeric wasn't even played. Like it was just so much cycling from Lyra and, you know, getting multiple mind blasts at times from that, you know, if they didn't already get it from Shadow Vision. So it, you know, I used to love Big Priest, you know, back in the Barnes days. So I was kind of excited to give it a chance to try it. I just haven't gotten a chance to yet.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
and very difficult to build Priest, especially I feel like all archetypes, when a new expansion comes out from existing archetypes to improve and to build new ones for most classes is super easy, except for Priest. Because Priest is so weird. All the Priest decks, all the T1 Priest decks, except maybe Razakus Priest, were like so weird. Like even if the bad ones, the Topsy Turvy Priest or stuff like that, you don't just look at an expansion and you're like, okay, that's gonna be a deck, you know? Like Topsy Turvy. Like I don't know how he even was it Dog? I think it was Dog.
Yeah,
come up with something like that.
Yeah, I think there was one already. Someone on Reddit like thinking of the combo before the expansion was out. Like, people already theorycrafted it, but it was Doc who first popularized it for sure.
Yeah, APM Priest is what they're talking about here. I mean, this deck still has the same weakness that the Barnes, like, you know, post Barnes big Priest has, which is aggression, right? There's just not crazy fast decks to really punish this at this moment, and I think that's why you're seeing some success with this.
I think both of these decks are weak to pure phase damage.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Don't really have pure phase damage mage. Decks besides Tempo Mage.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why mage has gotten really popular in the last week or two. So which we'll see once we talk about the Metapulse here in a second. But still, these are fun. It's great seeing these type of decks show up, you know, because we're at a state where the meta and everything is starting to settle like in a big way, you know, to the point where just things, it's the same decks that just kind of like shift and, you know, just do this whole rock, paper, scissors, depending on what week it is or whatnot. So getting a chance to see these type of decks like make an appearance is, you know, good. Just shows you that there's still more to figure out or more things that we can add to the 30 decks that are already viable right now. We can still add like another two here, possibly. It's crazy. But okay, yeah. So, you know, Gara, I guess those decks. Tyler, you know, obviously your week's been very heavily involved with the playoffs, which, you know, we can definitely segue into, but maybe before the playoffs, like, what were you doing kind of preparing for that and, you know, getting ready for the actual days themselves?
So a few key things. I was, first of all, I was just watching EU, and because APEC went right after EU, usually the meta shapes based on that, right? They see what does well in EU, and then they're going to adapt a few of those popular decks. And I think this time, I had a lot of help from Casey, my teammate. We talked about it a lot. And I think this time we just nailed the prediction, and we got exactly what we expected and made a lineup based on that. And it just worked out great.
Yeah, and talk about the lineup. Like, what was the lineup that ended up working out super well for you?
So, in EU, aggro was doing really well, right? Sintelol was playing aggro, and Moyen was playing aggro, right? And they both qualified. And I already know that Asia tends to like aggro a lot more, like, both on ladder and in tournaments, they just like aggro. And then seeing aggro do well, that was a huge sign for me. It was like, okay, Apex is going to play aggro. I asked Casey, I asked my Complexity Skype chat, I was like, they're going to play aggro, right? And everyone was like, yeah, Asia's going to play aggro. So we were just trying to find a lineup that I wanted to play aggro myself as well. So I wanted to find a lineup that was aggro, but also beats aggro. And so after looking around, we were like, well, even Lock kind of beats all the aggro decks except Mage, right? With a rogue ban in mind, with odd rogue ban in mind, then even Lock just beats on Token Druid, beats on Odd Paladin, and beats on Zoo Warlock. And we were expecting a lot of people to play those decks, also some Hunter, but we were expecting them to play that deck because we were also expecting them to play less Mage, because since Sintelol did well with Mage, it should be a bit scary to bring Mage yourself because people want to go one level higher, right? So people want to bring Odd Rogue, Zoo, Paladin to beat on the Mage as well. So I was expecting less Mage, which also was correct. And then that's why we came to the conclusion that even Luck was going to be really good. So every series, when I queued into a lot of those aggro lineups, and they had to either respect my even Luck or my Token Druid, and it happened half and half of the time. And basically, either I got to play Token Druid or even Luck, which gave me a really easy 1-0 most of the time. So I felt like I went into a lot of series with a huge edge lineup-wise because of that. Yeah.
So in the group stages, you know, like I know. So just so spoilers, guys, those of you that want to watch the VODs for whatever reasons, you know, Tyler obviously qualified, as well as Doc Revius, Blood Trail, and Occumaker. But, you know, Doc Revius, he was undefeated, right? In groups, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. He was crazy. And so when you guys faced off, I was like, oh, well, this is going to be a good one, you know, because I know you guys are even just neck and neck in terms of last call points and, you know, definitely two of the best players in APAC. Talk about, I guess, getting through groups. Like, were you nervous at all about groups? Was groups pretty easy for you, just kind of cruising through it? Or
So the first match was pretty easy for me. The guy had like the exact aggro lineup that I was trying to beat, and I just beat him pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But when I got against Revius, his lineup was really difficult for me. Even though I beat him 3-0, I had to 3-0 his Druid. If I didn't 3-0 his Druid, all my decks would lose to all his remaining decks, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I had my Token Druid could only get through on his Druid, and it would never get through his Warrior, and it would have a hard time getting through his Even Luck. His Even Luck was also teched like super well with Shadow Flame and more cards that would beat me. So I was like, I have to 3-0 his Druid, but then the guy in the Complexity chat, they were like, you got this because his Druid sucks, which I also think. His Druid was like
it's mecha
his thing. Mecha Cthulhu, but
yeah, it was
like It helps against control decks. Maybe he won with that against control decks, but against aggro, it's just another death card, right? So I already had all my decks were favored against normal druid already, like normal Malygos druid, and then he had a version that's more greedy and less good against my deck. So I felt like I had a chance to 3-0 his druid, but yeah, if I didn't do that, if I didn't pull it off, probably the Evenlock versus druid was probably one of the hardest matchup for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I got that one through, then I was feeling pretty confident because like my hunter was built to beat the druid. My hunter had double bear shark. That was mainly to beat druids.
Those bear sharks were huge. Like, yeah. they won you games by themselves, not being able to be removed. They're so good.
Yeah,
Doc Rivius's lineup was definitely one of the most different ones out of everybody that was at the tournament because he had two Mechathune decks, the Druid and the Warrior, Control Priest and Evenlock. So it was pretty amazing that he did so as well as he did through groups. And but the playoffs was definitely pretty exciting. Obviously, you got through pretty early, so you didn't have to sweat too much, right? But obviously, yeah. Dr. Rivius had to play Pan, I believe, and get through. But we did have a lot of drama on the other side, or the other group. Akimaker versus Sequinox. I think everybody that's followed this event, or even just read it at all, know, or at least have an idea as to what we're talking about. So what happened in this event, and again, it was basically like the deciding game, right, for top four here. During game one, Sequinox and Akimaker ended up finishing it out, and Sequinox ended up winning it. But then there was like this long delay, and nobody was knowing, like, understood what was going on. And apparently, it was called in that you know, there was a technical issue that caused a regame. And the technical issue apparently was that on Akimaker's side, like the I don't know if it was a Skype call or whatever, but apparently, they were reporting that the casters could be heard. And that Akimaker or somebody that was somebody that was working for the tournament was taking a look at listening to Akimaker's headset and could hear the casters, so he figured that Sequinox probably could hear the casters too, if he was on the same call or whatnot. So because of that, I think the sequence of events of what happens was it was kind of reported on Akimaker's side, which was Australia, right? I think it was in Australia. Yes. Where his site was.
And then so to clarify, the admin from Akimaker's side, mm-hmm. he was saying that Akimaker wasn't wearing those headphones.
Yeah, he wasn't wearing it, so he never heard it. Yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
But because the guy, the person admin or whatever was, just heard it there, he suspected that Sequinox could hear it too. And so anyways, the sequence of events, they ended up reporting it, but what's that? Reporting it to Blizzard. Blizzard made the call to regame. They ended up regaming. Akimaker won that game. So it was, there was a lot of obviously emotions going on during that. And, Sequinox had a twit longer, kind of explained, his side of it. Akimaker as well, his side of it. So we basically heard every side of it. And so I think it's a matter of just like talking about, what was kind of crazy. And Tyler, you were actually at Sequinox's site. So
yes.
I guess I'll ask you first, because there's talk about, the decision not being made. They didn't even talk to Sequinox's like admins or anything or what's going on. And they kind of made a decision without even having, I think, all the information from both parties. So yeah, what was your take on it from being at the site? Like, what was happening?
Yeah. Like for me, it was super weird. I can tell you exactly how I experienced this from our venue, because it took really long. Sequinox won game one, and then all of a sudden he had to regame, right? And the weird thing was that they never even asked the admin from the Taiwan venue if there was something malfunctioning or if Sequinox could hear any of the casters or whatever. They just randomly got a message that they have to regame. And the admin from the Taiwan side had nothing to say in the matter at all. And that was the weirdest part, right? And when they tried to, like, they were on their phones and tried to message back to the admins from Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer they got was, the decision is final. We're doing regame. And yeah, that's basically the gist of it. They had no say in the matter at all. And it was the admin from the Australia side that reported it. And then it was someone from Blizzard side that just made the final decision without even asking both venues. So it was, from our side, it was super weird, and we just couldn't understand what was going on at all. because ultimately on Sekunok's side, nothing was changed to the setup or whatever. And it was just regave and just continue as if nothing happened.
Yeah, and that's the really crazy part too, is that I don't think anything was changed on either side setup.
Yeah.
So they nothing just like regamed it. I mean, it could have easily happened again, you know, if it was indeed, you know, happening. So that was a bit strange too. So a lot of talk obviously about whether, you know, the admins, you know, were AccuMaker fanboys and trying to help him, you know, I mean, AccuMaker clearly wasn't involved in it, but, you know, it could be just people trying to, you know, help AccuMaker win even without him knowing. So right now we actually, there was news that came out that Resurgence is, you know, filing an official complaint, you know, to Blizzard about it. And, you know, really giving their side of the story as to what happened. I don't know if they're going to do anything about it. I'd be like, to be honest, like shocked. I don't even know what happens. Like, what if they do something about it? Does Sekunok get in too? Like, it feels kind of weird to let them in that way too. So
I don't think that would ever happen, but I think they're hoping for some form of compensation at least, like maybe some money. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess something possibly that way, but, so it's another one of these stories, you know, where, you know, just an adminning issue, or, I mean, technical issues happen sometimes. I mean, that's going to happen, and that's kind of par for the course. But, you know, how admins handle it, how Blizzards handle it, you know, it ends up really costing somebody an opportunity that's worked super hard. I mean, Tyler, you of all people know how hard these players work and, you know, for that moment, and then just have this kind of thing happen, you know, to Sekunok. So.
I think he handled it like super nicely. The way he did it was like, I don't know. If it happened to me, I would have gone mad. I would have gone insane. I don't think I would have been able to stay that calm. And like, because you've worked for, like, he himself has been, he also like took a year off studying and whatever to start playing Hearthstone full time and trying to make it in the Hearthstone pro scene. And like, I know exactly how it feels. I've been doing this full time for 2 years now and trying really hard to qualify for this. And it's the first time in 2 years, like my seventh playoffs, where I managed to qualify.
Yeah.
And so much hard work goes into it. And it's so hard to qualify. Even just qualifying for top 64 is already so hard. And then making top 8, being one match off from finally making it. And then that happening, I don't know how I personally would have reacted. I think I would have been really mad.
Yeah. So I agree with you. He definitely did handle it very, very gracefully. I mean, in his twit longer, you know, he definitely expressed his disappointment, and, you know, like, he does work super hard for it, clearly. And it is heartbreaking, you know, when it happens. Somebody's going to lose. But in this kind of like weird case, you know, talking about what should have happened, I guess maybe I think that's probably the best thing to do, is talk about what should have happened. And, you know, I don't know if the decision was made, you know, just not knowing all, I mean, clearly the decision was made not knowing all the information, but I don't know if it was taken into account, like the broadcasting schedule, you know, like they didn't want to sit there and wait another 30 minutes, you know, and figure this out, you know, because it could have taken that long. Who knows, right? It could have taken a while to really get all the information, and they kind of made a quick, you know, snap decision that way or not, but clearly you can't do that, right? Clearly you have to get all the information. You got to take a break. We got to take a break. You know, that's like the integrity of the event itself, I think, is, you know, more important than anything else. So I don't know what the Taiwan admin was telling Blizzard. Maybe they just made it sound like that was the entire story, but in the future, I think you need to hear from both admins, and, you know, then make a decision, you know, on Blizzard's part. So, you know, I thought we were done with this stuff, man. You know, like, yeah, it still shows you that each of these events are run differently. You know, I mean, obviously the process of asking Blizzard for, you know, like the end decision is the same at all these events, but clearly handling these scenarios, you know, we still haven't worked them all through yet. Otherwise, you know, we would know. It's like, oh, when this happens, okay, we have to make sure we talk to both admins and so on and so on. A lot of this still seems to be making, like, these judgments that are made on the fly. So, definitely got to work on that. You know, it's again heartbreaking for Sekunok. We'll see what we get at, you know, I guess Team Resurgence and he gets out of this. Maybe they will, you know, give him a little bit of money or cash or whatever prize, for another fourth place prize or something. But he's definitely in the, I'd be shocked if he ends up going to playoffs. You know, like, I don't think that that would be a weird decision too.
Yeah, that would never happen. That would only make it worse for Blizzard, right?
Yeah, yeah, agreed. So yeah, you know, what's your take on America this week? You know, like, America's obviously going to be happening. You saw kind of the transition from EU to APAC. What do you guys think that America is going to respond to what they saw in the first two playoffs? Is it going to be another aggro?
The deck lists are already public. Like, I looked through the deck lists.
Right.
And it's honestly, it's a mix of everything right now. So I honestly don't know who has a clear edge.
Yeah.
Right now, I just see everything. I see aggro, I see control, I see anti-control. I see super greedy anti-control with, like, Taunt Druid and whatnot. Like, Taunt Druid is coming back. A lot of people, like,
that's on top of decks, yep. Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the trend. Like, even more people are going even more greedy now. And actually, maybe that might pay off, because I did see a lot less aggro this time around in America.
So. Okay, so you think it's going to be swerving more towards anti-aggro then, and that sort of?
Yeah, if I had to take a guess, yeah. There's one guy who brought Quad Mecha C'Thun. Did you see that?
Oh, baby. Yes. That's going to be... I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing to watch. Just four Mecha C'Thun, or three Mecha
C'Thun. I mean, he's just next level, right? He beats all the anti-control. Like, he beats the Taunt Roots and everything. He beats everyone.
It's Doc Grievous's, you know, disciple there.
This also shows that you need way less points to qualify to an A-Prelims compared to you and A-Prelims.
Ouch,
ouch. I mean, to be honest, like,
oh man,
everyone who qualifies for APEC or EU is like super tryhard, because just to get there is so hard. I don't think that nobody, right, went full troll.
Like, yeah, nobody brought a meme by, but yeah.
Oh, so you think, I mean, you think they're just doing it for the, like,
no, it just shows that a wider range of people get to NA prelims. I mean, how many points did you need? 17 or something?
17?
There would be like 2,000 EU players who would have gone.
I think the guy who brought Quad C'Thun, he qualified through the Challenger series even. I think I saw that on the Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, which one's Challenger? That's not the...
That's the, like, for the...
If you,
no, that's
if you,
like...
If you don't qualify for three prelims in a row, you are allowed to play Challenger Cups.
Oh,
and if
one
of those, you can play in a Challenger playoff, and only the winner of that or the top two qualify for prelims.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Very, 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 very few people. Very, very, very small chance. And it's still difficult.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's still a pretty consistent player, you know, like, to be able to, I guess, get into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but like, if you look from an EU perspective and you're like, I needed 45 points to qualify for prelims, and then have the balls, let's say, to bring like Quad C'Thun.
Yeah, so correction on the points to get an NA, dude, 27, not 17, gosh. Like, that'd be ridiculously low. Like, crazy.
I think, like, all the top EU players had that after 1 month, I think.
Yeah.
More than that. Okay. Which is ridiculous, obviously.
All right, so any picks for this week? Anybody? Anybody's favorites this week?
Yeah, Hockey Boys. He's in chat. The Quad...
Hockey Boys, yeah.
The Quad Mecha C'Thun. Nice. He's my pick.
Oh, you're a Tavern Hero gear. Okay.
Muzzy.
We're like, that's awesome, man. Tavern Hero. That's the dream, man. That's literally the dream scenario. People coming
from... Wait, has Muzzy qualified already for Worlds?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he's first and last call for America, so
Oh, it's only Killen, right? So far,
Killen's in
from NA,
yeah.
Okay, then Masi is gonna go through last call.
Yeah.
So Sane and Amnesiac.
Well, they can't all get in, like, so
you said who are we rooting for? So Amnesiac.
You're rooting for them. I thought you were talking about last call. Okay, yeah.
No, this tournament. Yeah. We're talking about
I think Saiyan's a favorite, right? Like, I mean, the way he's been performing the last like four tournaments, I don't think there's anybody better than him right now. So I mean, forget that. Even if he wouldn't have won DreamHack, just finished top four, I'd still say Saiyan is like arguably the best player right this moment, you know, like at least in these stops, you know, most consistent. So
isn't Hunter Ace the most consistent
still? I think he was you know, if you look at maybe a 10 tournament type of scope, but I think in the last five tournaments, I think Saiyan's been the most consistent. So he seems to be the hottest one, at least right now. Yeah, so I would pick him. I'd be picking Saiyan right now. But that, yeah, the Tempo Storm team seems to be performing, or, you know, just really well, been hot like this last two thirds of the year so far, maybe in the entire year. It's just like they just got off to a slow start because of the ladder or whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's my pick. So Hockey Boy for Tyler, Saiyan,
let's go.
And then Gaara, just the entire Tempo Storm team. Not surprised.
No, I changed my mind to Hockey Boy. Let's go.
Hockey Boy. All right. I just want at least Hockey Boy to get on air, please. Like Lizard. You know, whoever's in charge of production, put him on air, please. Yeah, exactly.
You got my Twitch Prime, Sam.
Oh, nice. But anyways, Tyler, man, congratulations. Super happy for you, man. Yeah, I was like, it was really late. I was watching. I was just like, oh yeah, like I was so happy for you when you got in.
Tyler's the best Apex player from Apex since he is in Apex. Like since he moved to Apex, he's like. Dude, he has like 100% qualification rate for playoffs. What? Let's go.
He found where his home is. Yeah, definitely great in Vietnam there. Okay, well, anyways, why don't we move on? Before we do, I want to let folks know that this episode is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. For those of you wondering what ZipRecruiter is, it is a job site. And if you're like tired of seeing a bunch of tons of like wrong resumes with whatever job site you're using to try to find, you know, to fill some job opening that you have, then you should go to ZipRecruiter.com. And you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ValueTown right now and try it out for free. And unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter, it doesn't wait for like a candidate to come find you and message you. It actually just shows them all to you. It'll like figure out what the best candidates are for you and scan like thousands of resumes on a bunch of these job sites. And then they'll you know, show them to you, and you can like actively invite them. So it's like really easy to find candidates, not much less actually, you know, end up finding good ones that you end up hiring. So ZipRecruiter is actually rated number one by employers in the US from Trustpilot, and which, you know, have like thousands and thousands of reviews. Again, right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ValueTown. And that's ZipRecruiter.com/ValueTown. And it's this ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Okay, so moving on, we're going to talk about DreamHack Montreal. And speaking of Saiyan, you know, we had a classic Tempo Storm versus Fate to Karma battle in the finals there, which, you know, the two of the top teams here in HCT. And Saiyan ended up being victorious over Fino in, you know, the final game, which ended up, you know, it's like a Hunter versus Warrior, your classic Hunter versus Warrior battle we've been seeing. And of course, Saiyan ended up getting Rexxar very early in the match. So this match was pretty much determined, but it ended up lasting like 30 minutes or something like that, 40 minutes. But anyways, he ended up taking it.
I closed the stream when I saw Rex. He draw Rexxar.
Yeah, exactly, right. But really tight match. Fino was literally like one draw away, I think multiple times, taking that series, because he was up 2-0, I believe. And two times, totally, like Saiyan got the right draw at the right moment and ended up beating him, including that Rexxar draw. I think the Rexxar draw was even at like a very timely moment too. So yeah, really, really great event. Saiyan, you know, again, but I think he's one of the most consistent. Every time I watch him play, I'm just impressed with some kind of play he makes that ends up, you know, leading to victory. And it's just like, wow, that's so good. But yeah, any thoughts on DreamHack Montreal? You guys see any trends or anything that's worth noting?
I was sleeping the majority of the time, but
yeah, I imagine.
You know, doing really well with Questrogue, like Questrogue being back and all. And
oh yeah,
yeah, it scares me a bit. I might need to practice the deck.
Well, you know, the biggest question, which I was going to save it for Q&A, but we might as well bring it now. Biggest question this week, right? Everybody's been sending it out, Fino or whatever. All right, what's better, Token Druid or Questrogue? Which is better in that matchup?
Oh, I'm on Team Token Druid. I think Token Druid's going to win.
Okay, okay. A lot of people on Team Questrogue right now. Gaara, what about you? What team are you on?
I think it's 50-50, like the team-wise. But I think Questrogue, because I think it feels a little bit token druid favorite because most quest rogues suck. Like if you play quest rogue perfect, it might be slightly favorite. So I would lean towards quest rogue, even though I was favorite slightly when I played token druid against quest rogue. But I think you can just misplay so much more with quest rogue.
Is there a specific token druid that performs? I mean, is there one that's maybe better than the quest rogue versus one that's worse than, you know, like is the one with Violet Teacher better? Or is the newer version?
I think the general opinion is that Violet Teacher is actually better against Quest Rogue than the Scavengers are. Mm-hmm. But personally, I think it's pretty close.
I want to point something out about the Dreamhack because it goes like under the radar. Okay. It's like Impact is in my practice group, right?
Oh yeah, Impact.
Three people in my practice, mm-hmm. And he got top four again.
Yeah, and Impact's been having a great year. He's not a,
and the last ACT, he was also top four. And at Seed Story, he was also top eight. And I was top eight.
It's all because of you, man.
I'm just saying.
For sure, Impact's been having a good year. So, yeah, it's good to see him. He's obviously one of the OG players. You know, just known Impact forever now. So,
also, super crazy storyline, if you think about it. Because Tempo Storm was... Mm-hmm. Slightly edged it out over Fate to Karma in the overall team standings.
Not that slight anymore. They're actually getting pretty far ahead.
I mean, yeah, but it, like when there was the roundup, was super close. Fate to Karma was actually in the last month above Tempo Storm till the last ladder results.
Mm.
Like then Tempo Storm actually surpassed Fate to Karma. But to see then Fino versus Sane in the finals,
best reps,
and then. Sane again, like slightly wins, you know, like slightly out of it. So Fate to Karma is like slightly behind. It's actually crazy because of all the RNG in Hearthstone and whatnot, that you still have like this. Okay, Tempo Storm is right now the best competitive team, and Fate to Karma second, then you have like the finals and two of the top players.
I mean, I think it speaks. It really speaks to the game right now, right? Like, I mean, we are seeing consistently the same players at the top. You know, we saw Tyler qualify for top four and Doc Revius. I mean, they're two of the top players in that region. So we literally are seeing the top players get through, and that's reflective of the game. You know, I think that, you know, of course it could be better. It could always be better in certain metas and whatnot, but we are still seeing like the good players consistently finishing, you know, rising to the top. So
Tyler, could you have went for last call?
Yeah, we were just talking about
for it. For you? You mean?
No, you in APEC.
So right now I surpassed AHQ Strategy. So I would have been first if Revius also didn't qualify, but he also qualified. So he's still ahead of me by like 7 points. And what that means is that at championships, if one of us qualifies, then the other one is likely to win last call. So I have two shots basically.
Oh yeah,
just one of us. He's got a great shot at making worlds, so that's awesome.
That's actually, that's so crazy. So that's the thing. Tyler was like, it's kind of like known to that he would make it for last call, like most likely. But now he qualified for playoffs, which is insane.
Yeah. So it's like just a touch up on two shots. I mean, this is as good as you get, having two shots at it, you know, and one person that's in it can decide it for you too. You know, this is as good as you get.
This is awesome. One who's above you.
Exactly. If he qualifies and you don't qualify, you still get in potentially. So that's awesome. Yeah. So, you know, kudos for being in that position. Wes mentioned would be too.
And there will be different groups 100%, right? You will be in different groups.
Is that true? Like, I feel like,
I'm pretty sure there's one from each region.
Yeah. That's how they're
doing. You know what?
That really increases the chances again. Okay. Like,
wouldn't you rather play each other? Potentially.
No. We want the.
No, you
want to
play each other on top four. What? Well, right.
So like, they're gonna separate the groups, right? So each group has one Asian, one Americas, one EU, one China.
Yeah.
So that improves the odds of either me or Revius making it to top 8 cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if we face each other in top 8.
Yeah, you wouldn't face each other at top 8. That's what it is, yeah. Face each other at top 8, one of you guys go to top 4 and the other one gets in for last call. Like perfect. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? That's like when they face each other top 8, that's like the best outcome. Because it's kind of guaranteed they both make it.
Yeah, that'd be perfect, man. That'd be amazing. Oh, actually, Wes mentioned too that Hunter A has gotten to the semifinals of DreamHack too. So, you know, another player, you know, one of the top players.
And he won
there.
Two. Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, he's just the number one player in the world right now, right?
Yeah.
Points wise, at least, like, he's almost 3-star masters. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Insane. I know. He's definitely getting there. Yeah.
I think he needs, just to finish ladder top 25 this month, and he's basically master 3.
Yeah, with the original point total, which is crazy. You know, like, amazing. Yeah, Blizzard's going to be like, see, I told you. 200 points, guys. Like, easy.
This is going to win a couple of tours.
I know, right?
A couple.
Crazy. But yeah, anyway, another great Grand Prix from DreamHack. So, you know, definitely love those tournaments. Those tournaments are obviously one of the most competitive, too. You know, I think if APAC wasn't there, you know, who knows? Maybe you would have gone to that one, too. But consistently have the toughest Swiss rounds, I think, we've seen in Hearthstone. Okay, anything else about DreamHack before we switch from there? I'm trying to think of anything else happened at DreamHack. I don't think so. I think that's about it.
The biggest thing is that this is actually Saint's first real win, right?
Is it?
Overall, yeah. He hasn't won anything.
I thought he won...
No.
Was it like one of the Geico? No. He won one of the Geico events, right? Or maybe early in the year? I could have sworn Saint's won something. I mean, it might not have been... It's not one of the HCT events, obviously, but...
Yeah, all in all, he tweeted himself that finally took one down, right? Implying that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So maybe it was. So maybe it was his first major win for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, Raven just said his first major win. Yeah. So this is great. It's great seeing you guys getting these wins, man. It's been long overdue. It's just a matter of like the stars finally lining up for you guys instead of like getting unlucky. You know, we've been seeing too many of those unlucky draws and unlucky moments, or matchups or whatnot. Oh, Amnesiac one. Yeah, the Geico earlier. Okay, well, anyways, moving on. We've got a little bit of news here with Blizzard announcing that the next event is going to be the Days of the Frozen Throne. And that should be starting, I believe, next week. And we're going to start off with a Tavern Brawl where you guys we just are Death Knights immediately. So you get to, you know, be Rekstar or be Jaina or any of that stuff right off the bat. So that should be kind of fun. You get a free golden Happy Ghoul. Actually, let me show this.
Don't pick Uta.
Do you even get to pick? Is it random or do you actually get to pick? I'm wondering. Don't pick Uther. I thought you just told me Uther was good. Okay. Yeah. So we got this Rise of the Days of the Frozen Throne instead of Knights of the Frozen Throne. Here's the Death Knight duels. Does it say you get to pick which one? We'll both skip through and bring. I'm not sure if it'll be random or not, but it'll be kind of cool to. I don't know. If it was actually not random, I think everybody would pick the same thing after a while. So you get a free golden Happy Ghoul. So, you know, if you guys want to play some Zulok, you know, easy right here. My pocket change is basically special quests that will give you 300 gold each. So pretty good infusion of gold there. Six packs if you want to buy that eventually. And then lastly, there's going to be a sale. So there's going to be some kind of bundle for 30 Knights of the Frozen Throne card packs for a special price. Not sure what that price is, but, you know, a sale is a sale. So that's always good in terms of Blizzard giving us a little bit of a discount on the packs. Anyways, enjoy that. I guess have fun with that.
Which Death Knight would actually be the best to pick if you could pick in that one?
Which one? Death Knights?
Which one? Which one would actually be the best one to pick if you could?
It depends if you get the Battle Cries, right?
Oh.
I was thinking, if you go Uther and you have the freaking weapon and you can go face from turn one, it's not that
I would
bad.
Assume you would. I would assume you get the weapon. I don't know if you don't get to like do 2 damage to the entire board like Rexar does or anything like that. But I don't know. Which one would I pick? That's a good question.
Lyra seems pretty bad.
Lyra? Copying cards? Hmm.
Yeah, like from like because everyone has already a DK, it seems pretty slow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good, but I don't know. Wait, do you get a random deck or do you actually build a deck and you have a DK
too? I'm guessing you're building a deck. Yeah.
Build a deck? Yeah.
I think, I mean, Jaina would be good.
Seems pretty bad.
Jaina would be good. Sick, right?
Like, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Healing constantly, basically. That'd be amazing. It's like, pretty interesting. I think it's a
damn,
cool
draw. Control mage with turn one, Jaina. <That's
laughs> I know. Oh my god. Exactly. You can't even hero power as paladin. Like,
everyone calls it Jaina or curve or lose deck, but if you always have Jaina turn one, sick.
Yeah.
Gul'dan seems pretty bad. Like you don't get the demons. Like how do you win?
Easily the worst one, right? Well, now I guess you still get the lifesteal. Hero power is still pretty strong, but yeah, anything with the battle cry that's not the weapon.
Oh, maybe if it's Zoo, like Zoo with Gul'dan, I don't know.
But how's that gonna? I mean, that's not gonna. I mean,
you don't have the battle cry. Like, how do you win?
I know exactly. So that's I think half of the value of Gul'dan goes away.
Yeah,
without that.
And Malfurion seems pretty bad. Like, if you don't even get the battle cry, let's say you get like just Malfurion, like, what is? It's a pretty cool story.
It'd be kind of interesting if they just gave us the DK. Well, you know, they obviously give us the DK card, but it costs zero. You know, like you can play it whenever you want to or something like that. I guess that would be kind of maybe a way to implement, you know, just having the ability to use the battle cry, at least to some degree. anyways, well, let's move on to meta pulse here. Just get a look at what the meta looks like right now on the ladder. And let me turn out these decks, and we've got the power ranking as usual and class popularity. You know, with the power rankings, not too much. I mean, again, like the very top win rate is, I think the ceiling of the win rates just keeps coming down every week, so it is starting to like normalize completely. Priest still a little bit, Priest and Paladin actually a little bit out of the range. So Paladin's actually been you know, really slipping there. That odd Paladin just been losing, I think, steam, losing a lot in the last week yeah. and a half. So we actually see Paladin all the way down to 8 now, which is kind of crazy. Oh, we actually have two mage symbols there. My bad. But yeah, so we saw Paladin drop for sure. Druid just dropped one slot, so it's not a big deal there. And then Mage actually went up. I think Mage was number 8 last week. So the countering quest rogue seems to have been, you know, having a huge impact there with Mage, because I feel like it's the only real aggro face deck at this point. And that's pretty crazy. Have we ever had a period where there was just one face deck? You know, like face deck that had any viability. Like, we literally don't have any viable face decks.
I mean, Secret Hunter is also kind of like a face deck, but not really. Like, but it kind of is.
You think so?
Yeah, kind of.
It kind of is.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, you have your Huffers, your skill commands.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It definitely is high tempo for sure. And then the secret keep, yeah, some of those secret keepers. And
I think this is one of those decks that also keeps like Evenlock from being popular just because of the face damage.
Mm-hmm.
Else, I think if Evenlock would be way more popular. It's just so much Hunter right now. I think Hunter is more popular than Druid right now. I feel like you face so many.
Well, I mean you can see
shows
the popularity
first place,
right now.
But today I face like 40% Hunter. I always face a lot of Hunter, but today was really crazy. Every second matchup. Or something like that was Hunter.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's clearly popular, though. I mean, Druid, Warlock, Hunter, and even Rogue, I mean, way more popular than everything else. It's just like those four and then the rest. And, you know, Paladin, 2.9% in the last, you know, day, which is crazy. Crazy, crazy low at this point.
Yeah. Like, the Hunter gets more popular doesn't help for the Paladin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mage again. The Mage went from, I believe it went from like 4-something% to 8.4. So it's doubled.
Yeah, that's interesting.
In last week. Yeah. It's done really well there. Well, actually, the Mage didn't put the arrow by it, though. Okay, so anyways, we got the top 5 decks I wanted to talk about here was... these are the top 5 decks that you won't see on the site, because it's like literally, you know, 24 hours, what's the best decks right now? So... you know, Token Druid, Even Warlock, Taunt Druid, Tempo Mage, and Secret Hunter, which is pretty interesting. You know, you mentioned the Taunt Druid getting popularity, Tyler.
So, yeah, I'm really surprised about seeing it here as well. I thought it was just a tournament meta where people responded, but I didn't know HS Replay actually had tundra this high as well. That's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you were talking about the strong shell pick, right? Like when me and you were talking a little bit earlier this week, and you know, that strong, you know, the druid, right? Adding that to token druid, that actually showed up in this exact list maybe like 2 weeks ago. So
yeah,
this is like proof that like there are a lot of decks that just float out there, and a lot of, you know, it's just not popular and people just don't know about them. And that's like the reason why I do this like query for the top five decks in the last, you know, 24 hours or less than 24 hours, just to see like, you know, what these decks that might not be playing much. I mean, I use at least 400 games, so there's at least some kind of like sample. But 400 games is still very, very low, you know, in terms of what we do on the site right now or show on the site. So it's always cool to see some trends pop up from it, you know. I would say the other stuff isn't that that new. You know, I think we know that Token Druid and Secret Hunter and even Warlock and even Y Tempo Mage is popular right now. But yeah, the Taunt Druid. What do you think the Taunt Druid's responding to right now?
That's a good question. Next question. I really don't see like it having too good. Like, it's not that good versus Tempo Mage. It's probably the worst Druid versus Tempo Mage. And you said Tempo Mage popularity doubled, so that makes no sense. It should lose to all Hunter versions as well, I think. It might be okay, but like, it's also weak to face damage, so it should be bad. And it's, I think, also one of the weakest. Maybe it's good in the mirror, but it should also be bad in the mirror because of Nosperian Plague and whatnot. But maybe it is good in the mirror. Like, Oaken Summons is good. Like,
it beats all the all the other druids that are on token, but I guess it's also fine against token. You can build boards as fast as they can sometimes.
But you lose to Rogue, and Rogue is so popular always.
Yeah.
And you lose to Death Riddler Hunter and probably the Secret. It just doesn't seem so great. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the best druid deck to counter other druids.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay. That would make sense. I mean, given that druid is so as popular as it is right now, then might just be a little bit of a little spike for now.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably better than Big Druid.
Oh, definitely better than that. I played my share of Big Druid. Not great right now. Definitely not good. Okay, well, anyways, this is kind of a lucky...
Oh, yeah, it makes sense because also everyone protects Horrors. So Spreading Plague is really weak right now, I think.
Yeah, like whenever I look on HS Replay on a lot of the decks, Spreading Plague is very often one of the lowest win rate cards.
Yeah.
In all the druid decks, it's actually really interesting, and it's probably because of Musty Horror indeed. Yeah,
people play Void Rippers and double like right now. It's kind of, I think, staple to play double Musty Horror and Hunter.
That's crazy, double Musty Hunter. Yeah, there's just so many targets, like you know, like you said, with Spreading Plague and Giggling, and it's just so much value right now. When you hit it, it's crazy value. And the Hunter, you can even hit eggs too at, you know, like sometimes and have a little value, even if, right now it's really cool that way. I can't wait till we can get some type of, you know, like I really want to have some type of, element to show when tech cards are good or not. So, you know, whether it's like to talk about on the show or even just like somehow on the site or maybe even tweet. But I think that, you know, right now, Mossy Horror is like a perfect example of just like, you know, what I wonder what percentage, like, or how much value Mossy Hunter gets every single game on average. Might be a good query to run later and see what comes up with. How much, you know, like, how much mana value does it kill regularly? That may be kind of interesting to see. Okay, well, yeah, those are the five decks you can, you know, definitely check out. You can obviously find these decks on the site, so if you have to look for them. I don't have the codes right here to give to you, just like in the chat, but definitely take a look at that when you get a chance. Before we move on, I want to give a shout out to just all the patrons that support the show. Those of you not familiar with the Patreon, we actually have a Patreon for Value Town at patreon.com/valuetown, and if you enjoy the show, feel free to, you know, throw us a pledge, because it really, really helps out. And we always give some thanks to our patrons, and starting with our legendary producer Mike T, and then we got Ray Dan, Dave C, Vincent G, Dan S, Alpha 404, Grant A, Edo Lee D, Mike V, Zach M, Evie, Eric L, sorry, Sasha G, and Jeff B, just to name a few. Thanks so much, guys. You guys are amazing. And we're gonna try to start up like Deck of the Week again. I'm gonna see if like we kind of had some interest or lost interest in Deck of the Week, but I know a few people have been asking about it again. So we'll try to start it up again this week and try for one of our audio shows on Monday too. All right, let's go into Q&A here. We've got Amaden with his question as always. Actually, he didn't actually have one last week, so it's great to have Amaden back here. What nerfs should be expected and what cards should we avoid crafting as their decks might be nerfed? Tyler, any recommendations?
As of now, the meta seems quite balanced. I don't think Giggling is such a problematic card as people think it is. Giggling Inventor. Will we see a Quest Rogue nerf? I honestly can't say. I have a hard time seeing something getting nerfed right now. I don't think there's anything insanely problematic for the game because like there's such a big representation of all classes, right?
It is right but, now. It is, but. Like, are you saying that there's nothing that could be changed to make even the game better than it is right now? I mean,
I think there's nothing as bad as what we used to have that got nerfed. Like, there's nothing as bad as, for example, the Lackey that got nerfed, or what else got nerfed last expansion?
I mean, it was mostly like Called Arms,
Dark Pact.
I don't think there's a dark pack right now. Something as bad as that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Like it was 5 mana and dark pack heals for 8.
Yeah, crazy. Q block was just ridiculous, right? I mean, when you look at the actual meta, right? You know, like when you look at the just our meta tab on HS Replay, there's like incredible amounts of. I mean, look how many tier ones there are now. If you just like literally look at like 51-53% win rate, or maybe 54% win rate, I mean, we're talking like 20 decks.
Yeah.
20 decks into 51, not to mention 50. I mean, we add another like 6 or 7 to that, 6 of them. So we've got so many like right now. So I think looking at it from that standpoint, yeah, I don't think we need a nerf from that standpoint. But
and then from the standpoint of looking at the tournament's results, so yeah. All the good players doing well over and over again, it also means that the tournament meta is just healthy, right?
Yeah.
Tyler qualified, so the game must be perfect.
Yeah.
I would also not change a single card. Not a single stat on a single card.
God, you guys. I mean, I would endorse changing also, something. So please change something so that we can get at least a little bit more of a fresh... You know, like a fresh feel, maybe some more new decks here.
Do you see something that I don't see any card?
I mean, Chad wants to change Giggling Inventor to 6 mana. I always compare it to Spreading Plague. Like, is Giggling Inventor as much of a problem as Spreading Plague was at 5?
Giggling Inventor doesn't even feel that strong, to be honest.
To me, not.
I mean, I just feel like they didn't play in Giggling Inventor. They just probably play something... That's still pretty defensive, you know. Car creepers.
The thing by Giggling Inventor is not even good right now is there's four reasons actually. So almost every control deck plays double MC tech, not one MC tech, double MC tech. And then it's so hard to play around around MC tech in general when you play Giggling Inventor. It's three bodies on board. It plays right into Mossy Horror in curve, and it completely blows you out. And Auto Rogues play double Blood Knight.
Nerf the tech cards. Basically.
And it plays into Spreading Plague as well. It's just like, man, I really can't see why people are like, wow, Giggling must be nerfed right now. It's so weak, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's completely fine. It's a card.
Maybe it needs to be nerfed because it's like a buff right now to all those cards. So you kill this one card, you kill those four cards too. Yeah, but yeah, Giggling is doesn't seem to be as much of a problem. But there has talk. There has still been some talk about Wild Growth and Nourish and Prep. And,
but no, Crypt said Fungomancer has to be nerfed. Let's nerf Fungomancer.
Let's make it, really?
If it's the most broken card in the game.
Okay. I maybe in Arena. I don't think it's the...
No,
in Standard. Strike. Okay.
That card's annoying.
All right. Okay. All right.
You could be right, Tyler. No fungal.
Yeah. I think the only complaint.
Standard cards like KLSF. Screw KLSF. We don't need that garbage.
KLSF?
Those random losses against KLSF. Screw that. We don't need that. Like the card doesn't seem so problematic because you don't lose that often to it. But once you lose to it, like I think we conditioned our brains to the point because the card is in the game for over a year now that you just accept the losses to Kalista, right, Tyler? I don't know. It's You're like you don't even think about it anymore. It's like oh, it's Kalista. Oh, Kalista into Serenite Chain Gang. If that loses you the game in pretty much against every class.
Yeah.
Any class can win that, like that. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. But it's like but nobody gets upset about it anymore. It's like, oh, yeah. It's
just, nah, I reduced it.
Yeah.
Just Kalista. I mean, you know?
Well, it's one of those things where.
I guess I lost.
Until it just becomes so good or the meta kind of lines up where a deck with Kaliseth or with another card that's super strong gets a lot of attention, it generally doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like the cards that they ended up nerfing had been good for a while, you know? So it's just one of those things when the meta just doesn't line up, it doesn't seem as good. Like Hex, for instance, right? Like when they finally nerfed Hex. Hex has been good forever, you know? And it just, I don't know why. Actually, I don't even, I'm not even sure the timing of that was even made as much sense. I guess that was just something that maybe it was going to happen over time.
When it sucked the most, that's when the nerf takes.
Okay, maybe that was a bad example then. No.
So it was the same with Hunter's Mark for Hunter. When Hunter sucked by far the most, it was unplayable for 1 year. That's when they nerfed Hunter's Mark.
They submitted
it. I think it was similar to Execute as well for Warrior. When he had no playable Warrior deck.
Yeah, yeah. okay, so Based has a question. Oh, no, not Based. Where was that? No, yeah, Based has a question up top here. Do you guys think that Blizzard has actually moved away from really powerful infinite cards like the DKs and Legendary Weapons, or are they just going to print another Gadgetzan Kobold level set before the rotation?
I mean, they just printed Dr. Boom, which is a very powerful infinite card.
Yeah, it's definitely powerful, but, you know, it's not Rexxar, though, right? I mean, clearly, it loses to Rexxar. But
relax.
we got like serious meme Gaara on the show today. This is awesome.
No, it's not serious meme Gaara. You can beat Rexxar with Dr. Boom.
Really? For me, it's like unless I get Rexxar super late. It's,
you have also other cards. It's not like you play only Rexxar and only play Dr. Boom. Of course, Rexxar wins. There's 30 other cards in the deck. What the hell?
Yeah, I guess it has to be pretty different than the control.
You can't just go DK 1v1. Let's go. Okay, I guess Rexxar beats everything then.
Well, it doesn't beat everything, but in terms of like infinite wise, you know, it's
of course.
Yeah, you know, the boom actually has things that don't, you know, that don't synergize, right? In terms of what you're doing at the time, where getting a minion just generally is good, like every single time. Like if I could get the mech every single time, that would be pretty nice. Like be able to pick a mech every single time.
Yeah, but the other hero powers are also very synergetic, oftentimes.
I don't know. I get to do one to all.
I think the microbots are underrated. Like microbots into Brawl is so sick.
Oh like, yeah. No, I like that one. I definitely do like that one. I think
it's
that
so random, right? But it's so sick. Like.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess answering that question. They clearly created one, so I wouldn't say they're getting away from it. I don't think they're getting.
The answer is they definitely nerfed the power level of cards. You can see with the legendary spells. They're so much weaker than the legendary weapons and the legendary DKs. They're like, we can't just top the power level of these cards with our expansion. Like, yeah, the weapons were after the DKs, and they're pretty much on the similar power level, but there was like a counterplay to it. But it ended up in a situation, when I play my legendary weapon, you don't have a weapon removal, you will lose the game. Kind of like with the skull. So, like, you have the counterplay, in theory, but it's so dumb. The whole situation is stupid. Like, you don't have to weapon removal, you lose.
It's just a very thin line they have to walk, right? How many expansions do we have until the rotation?
Two more.
One more. If they made this one even more powerful, and then they have to do the last one even more powerful, then this is really a hard thing to accomplish, right? And we get huge power.
They've kind of started. I mean, Witchwood was definitely like a step back, right, in power level. And then I think this one, it was a step up from there, but, you know, it wasn't Frozen Throne level, which like created all these crazy like win conditions. And so I think historically speaking, when we saw Gadgetzan and just what they did with Gadgetzan, that was bad, you know, for a last expansion, because it just had, you know, that last expansion lasts the longest, right? Like it sticks around for the longest. So, you know, I think that it'd be, as bad as it sounds, guys, it might be good for them to just have a, you know, like not a crazy power level expansion for the last one either. And then so when we do get the reset, it's just like, you know, we have this lower leveled, you know, Hearthstone. Like the power level just comes down to a much lower level. And then we can kind of like work from there again, you know, and have some space again. So,
which is interesting. The game feels less bad than it should be in theory. Because the last two expansions, we've played so few cards from the last two expansions because of the power level. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we don't play any legendary spells except the one in Zoo because of the power level. But the game still doesn't feel like that boring because it feels way more balanced overall. We never had so many playable decks ever in Hearthstone because the way how Hearthstone was, there was like two broken decks and then everything else was not playable.
Yeah. And so now, maybe they're focusing on that. Maybe the design team has just been focusing on just trying to get it completely balanced, you know, and then from there we can talk about power level, but at least getting it balanced is like A+, you know, this is crazy. Like getting the classes represented the way that they're being represented right now. It's like amazing. But yeah, you know, I think that the next expansion, I'm really, really curious about the next expansion, what they're going to do. Cause, you know, this is the one that's announced at BlizzCon too. So, I don't know if that takes into account like trying to do some crazy epic stuff. I think last year, what did we see last year? We saw Rin announced there. What else did we see announced there that was like really, really crazy in Kobolds? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the rest of them off the top of my head. But
was Kobolds the Cube Lock expansion with Rin?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
It was the Void Lord.
Lord, and then the dungeon runs and all that stuff. Right. So that was announced at BlizzCon. So, you know, I think they generally want to announce cool, you know, really cool shit at BlizzCon because it's always a little bit of an internal contest between the groups or the teams.
By the way, one card that I just thought about it absolutely has to be nerfed is the Florist for Druid. I think that card is not okay in the game.
The
one that reduces the card by 7 mana. Druid doesn't need it at all, but it has it, access to this card, which is stupid. I think it's worse than Floop.
Really?
In the game.
Wow. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying the card is better than Floop, but it's worse to have in the game. Very similar to Questrog.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like, Questrog is not a good deck to have in the game, even though you maybe don't face it too much on the ladder. It's very similar to...
Yeah.
I don't think Florist is a good card to have in Hearthstone, in Druid.
It's not a great mechanic anyways, right? Just subtracting just cost, and that's
there's
it.
There's no counterplay to it.
Yeah,
all they have to do is pick the cards, and you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that Floris is insane, but Talkwalk is so much fun to play, man.
Oh, man, you're one of those players.
It's OP. Of course it's fun. So it's OP.
Well, that's one of the, you know, things that people have been talking about too. Like Killer made that video recently, and I mean, people have been talking about just single player, right? Like we have a good number of single player decks, as we like to call them, which is for those of you wondering what those are, it's generally combo decks or, you know, decks with win conditions that it's just a matter of them getting there, you know, and not so much about you know, having to interact with their opponents. You know, so things like, you know, Mechathune and you know, even King Togwaggle and you know, even Questrog to a degree, I guess. But
like this is a great example. I think, like, if you look at the cards Azalina and Togwaggle, I think both of these cards are fine to have in the game when it's difficult to pull it off, right? Before you had to go double naturalize, fill up the hand, and then Togwaggle. And then there's like Skarky Guys as a counterplay to it and whatnot, just emptying your hand. But now that you can do it in the same turn, the full it dumbifies the game, right? It's not very difficult to pull it off. All you have to do is draw one of the pieces and then play Floris.
I mean, do you really want to see King Togwaggle decks in like HCT playoffs, Tyler? I mean, I would...
As the best deck in the game.
Oh,
that's like worse.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, that's even worse, right?
So. Do you really want that?
I don't know. It's a very high skill cap deck, though, where even pro players mess up, right? Mm. Even in ACT, we've seen a lot of players mess up with the deck because yes, there's some uninteractive stuff to it, but it's also there's also a lot of important decision making to it. I feel like, yeah. I personally like that.
I mean, it's really challenging to live. You know, I think where the pros just shine is like when it's in one of those unfavorable matchups, and then, you know, you guys make these like crazy awesome decisions that can result in a win that, you know, most players would not get wins out of. That's when, you know, you can really flex, you know, the skill and everything. But for, you know, but generally speaking, it's just like it really doesn't matter too much. You know, like staying alive and doing that sort of thing is a completely different thing than interacting. Yeah.
Actually, Shady last week pointed out something very interesting about that. Tokamak Druid is very similar to Questroke in some matchups. He said like he destroyed Shio and he never played Questroke and he did like 20 misplays and still won.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like in some matchups you need such a low amount of skill to win the game anyways. Like you just need to know like the general like important win condition or whatever you have to do, let's say against
draw cards. Like just draw Valera cards or
Zola.
Yeah,
don't waste your Zola. And like Togwego Druid versus Barco Warrior, for example, all you have to do is just, you know the combo and then you will win every time. And that is like super bad, right? I agree that Togwego Druid is one of the hardest decks to play in the game, but it is at the same time very, very stupid. Like in some matchups. It's too easy to play in some matchups that you still win against the best players in the world.
Yeah, so I mean, to your point, Tyler, like I think that it is, you know, probably really fun when, you know, I think the top pros can figure their ways out of that. But we see that with any kind of like combo deck, you know, like you guys will always be able to flex, you know, like in those positions versus other, you know, players. But in terms of just what the deck is, I just feel like it looks like a meme deck and it like should be a meme deck. You know what I mean? Like it's supposed to, for me, it feels like it's supposed to be one of those just kind of fun decks that's in there when you want to build like a fun, you know, just a, you know, the deck you want to stream, you know, that sort of thing. But but for it to be viable, oh man, that's where it gets a little dangerous for me. Like I don't want to be watching that sort of deck.
I definitely get what you're saying.
Yeah. Any other questions, guys? Any last? I think I had. Boxwine had a question up here. Where was it? It was something about Baku. Let me find it. Oh, thoughts on Baku affecting the meta? Baku Rogue, Pally, Warrior, oppressive hero powers. So, do we think Baku needs a nerf? Maybe he's phrasing it like that. Basically, what do you think? I mean, the hero powers. It's basically a question of the hero powers.
I mean, if everything is strong, then it's balanced, right? Then nothing is overpowered. Like every class has some kind of thing that makes it strong. So like, yes, there's Baku, and yes, there's also Druid with Ramp, and yes, there's also Kaliseth. And like, there's just a lot of strong things you can do in the game right now. And like I said earlier, it's a good representation of all classes, and every class has multiple decks that are viable right now and play at high level. So for me, I really enjoy the game right now. I think it's perfectly fine. And also Baku is perfectly fine, I think.
Like which Baku decks do we even play right now? We only play Baku Warrior and Baku Rook.
Yeah.
And those Baku two
Paladin?
Decks.
Paladin too.
Yeah, but you don't really play that.
Kinda.
You show
2%. Plenty of people play it, dude. Look.
You said 2%. You said 2%.
2%. Oh my god.
Yeah, you showed popularity of Paladin 2%.
Oh, okay. I mean, but that doesn't mean it's not good. It's just because they've been playing like God Paladin forever, like too long now. Two expansions now. Yeah. That's why.
But none of these decks feel too strong.
Yeah.
I feel like if we couldn't do all these powerful things in Hearthstone, it would be a very boring game. Like, we would be playing vanilla Hearthstone from back in 2014 or whatever. Or Arena.
There's some people that want to play that.
Yeah.
Actually, Gaara, you probably want to play that, right? That's like your favorite time of
I have no opinion.
I have no Yeah,
I don't want to play that, man.
Yeah, they do have to balance, like, flash and, you know, you have to get some flash in the game. So,
yeah.
You know, I still think so far they've been doing a good job of it. It doesn't, again, like you're not seeing crazy stuff, and that's obviously, you know, I think from a short term standpoint, a very, you know, a strategy we've seen from them. But long term wise, I think it's affected in the game in a bad way. So I don't mind this conservative approach. That's just, you know, getting through this last expansion, hopefully it won't be too crazy. And then once we start over, it's like a brand new Hearthstone. When all DKs are gone and quests are gone and everything, oh my God, it's going to be like crazy difference. Like how big of it, not even, you know, this reset wasn't even that bad. Like, I don't think the game's that much different after this reset this year, but next one, oh crap, it's going to be crazy. Let's see. West has a question about, where was it? I just saw it. Do you think that they will nerf anything from Death Rattle Hunter? So like cube's been a topic of nerfs in the past. Shaw, and King Crush or anything else. I don't think Shaw's an issue right now. But cube, anybody?
We wanted to nerf cube like a year ago, I think.
Yeah, well, we nerfed when it was cube block, right? But they nerfed everything else, like except for that. Yeah. So, you know, but is it an issue in, you know, it's being played in Hunter, it's being played in Druid sometimes.
I mean, cube is broken.
Yeah, it's still just a really broken card. For
right.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that's one of those classic cases. Unless it's like, you know, crazy oppressive deck, that card may never get touched. It's so good in Hunter too. It's crazy.
I mean,
good in Hunter.
I mean, I guess, right? If you nerf Questroke, you gotta nerf cube as well. Like, what's the argument for nerfing Questroke and not nerfing cube as a counter argument? Like, why would you not nerf cube? It's equally as stupid and non-interactive. And when it happens, you have no removal. You just lose.
I would say, I don't know. I think cube isn't as,
it just feels different, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's shorter term, right? Like, it's a card versus everything of yours is 4/4 after the effects of the crazy quest aspect of it, right? So, of the rogue. But it's definitely a broken card. So there is definitely an argument for nerfing it, even though it's not, like, oppressive. You know, like, Hunter's not crazy oppressive right now. But you can make an argument for definitely doing that. Shaw, I don't think, is a problem. Shaw, I think, still has potential. Like, it's still, you know, we're finally seeing with, you know, I think some cards like the spider, you know, that kills things or removes a minion. But
it's like, Shaw is also like too strong, but it's like Tyler said, if everything is too strong, then nothing is too strong. Just everyone does something strong.
Can you imagine the Hunter without all this Death Rattle stuff? I mean, I guess we would have Secret. I guess we just have Secret Hunter, right? That's about it. That's all we would have.
The most popular deck in the game, right?
Yeah, that's all we would have. Like that from Hunter. Like that,
good enough.
Yeah, we've had Secret Hunter for a while. Like Secret Hunter's been around for more than an expansion. We had Spell Hunter too,
because he plays a lot of powerful cards.
Yeah. Okay.
Plays Rexxar.
Rexxar? Yeah, Rexxar is pretty good.
Rexxar is keeping those Hunter decks alive. I feel like without Rexxar, in a lot of matchups, you just run out of steam, right? And just don't get there.
Yeah. I mean, Rexxar is really the key to being able to play Control Hunter. Control Hunter was the unicorn, remember? For the longest time. And Rexxar literally is the thing enabling it right now. So when that's gone, man, it might be sad times for Rexxar again. It'll be pretty interesting to see. Okay, any last questions, guys? I'll give you like maybe 1 minute to type any questions, and then we'll call it. Let's see, any last moment? You guys have a question for each other, maybe? There's something about coffee here. You know what that's about?
Tyler to be the best player in the world.
It feels really good, man. Feels really
okay,
good.
How about
to be
this? What would you do if you won the world championship? What would you do with that money?
Relax at first. What would you do when you qualify?
You got a dream, dude. We're gonna dream. We might as well dream for the top.
Winning
dude.
Worlds.
Like, honestly, I might buy a house here in Vietnam.
Okay.
I should really like it there. I might build a house, not buy, build a house here.
And yeah. I build it for him. He hires me.
Yes, that would be.
Then I move in the garage.
Dude, please do a stream of that. That'd be amazing.
All right.
Move in the garage.
It's a lot of viral streams.
Viral stream. It'd be reality TV. Really the Gar and Tyler show. That'd be amazing. What are the thoughts? Okay, here we go. Heretic has a question. Thanks for subbing, Heretic. What are your thoughts on the power level of Wild as an eternal format? It is naturally very strong, but is it too broken right now? Oh, just so wild, just generally speaking. Eternal format? I mean, it is what it is. It's called wild for a reason. It's just crazy. And they say that they're balancing it, but you know, they are keeping you know, an eye on it to try to balance it to some degree, but I feel like it's just not possible to balance. Yeah. I mean, it's like a very, very lost cause trying to balance wild.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's called wild for a reason. I feel like if you want to play the balanced version of Hearthstone, you play standard. If you just want to do really crazy stuff and just mess around, then you go to wild. That's how I feel like it should be. And a lot of people seem to have the approach of like, I feel bad that my cards aren't being used anymore, so I want wild to be viable. But I think that shouldn't be the mindset. The mindset should just be wild, should just be wild and just crazy, where you can do crazy mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to like discredit wild players, because there's an actual ladder there, and there are top wild players too. But you know, wild for me sometimes, when I'm playing it, it's like quick play. You know, it's just like go in there, just do some crazy stuff, you have a good time, and then you know, go into standard and play your hunters and your druids and your, you know, whatever it is. So yeah, I don't know. I like it the way it is. And you know, this is coming from somebody who doesn't play wild competitively or anything like that, or a lot ladder wise. So you know, take it for what it's worth. Kanemura, I can't even tell if he's being sarcastic or not. He says, why have questions when the game is finally perfect? It plays itself like a nice slot machine, and you hope it draws your winning card first. It's not that bad. It's definitely not that bad. Okay, so I guess in generally, Tyler, you like the competitive scene, right? Like, you like how the competitive meta is right now?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah. Okay. And that's, you know, in the end, that's a huge win, you know, if that's the case right now. And yeah, you don't hear too many pro players complaining about the meta, you know, the event meta. So that's definitely really good. Okay, well, why don't we wrap up, guys? You know, definitely a good show. Tyler, again, like, man, thanks for staying up this late. I know it's crazy, and you probably almost seen the sun at this point. So
yeah, no reason. I might stay up till breakfast and go downstairs and buy like a sandwich or something.
Awesome. What kind of sandwich is, like, banh mi kind of, or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
It's like a banh mi with with basically like some meat in it, some pork or whatever.
Ah, okay.
Or can I get like a bao, like
yeah,
the
dude, that's
like
good stuff, man. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta love.
Because I live in an apartment complex right above a supermarket, so
nice.
It opens at 7, which is in like 2.5 hours from now.
Yeah, dude, Asian street food is the best, man. Like,
yeah,
costs nothing and it tastes so good. Man, any Asian country, I feel like, has great street food. But anyways, Tyler, again, congratulations again. We're gonna, you know, be rooting for you, obviously, once the finals come around here for the season. And I definitely wish you luck. But any shout outs you want to do before we take off?
Shout out to you again for doing this great show.
Of course.
Thanks for inviting me. And shout out to chat. Shout out to Hockey Boys. Good luck this weekend.
That's right.
I also saw Impact in the chat. Yep. Good luck to him as well if he's still here. And yeah, that's about it. Shout out to Gara.
I love you.
Ooh, nice.
He knows it.
So. Gara, want to do some shout outs?
Shout outs to Tyler, my boy.
Oh, the bromance
is
real here.
He's gonna win Worlds if Zane doesn't win it, or Muzzy. he's gonna get to Worlds.
Yeah.
And shout outs to Impact if you're still in the chat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Congrats, maybe. My boy, my other boy. And shout outs to my stream. I stream every single day, 8 hours to 1 PM CT till like 9 PM CT, like today. So shout outs to that. Follow me there. And
where's that? Where's the stream again?
Garabist Shaman.
All right, cool. And then Tyler's is Tyler OOTD too, right? For your
yeah,
stream?
Yeah.
So definitely.
He's probably also gonna stream every day, 17 hours, studying now again.
17 hours. Oh man.
With no breaks.
Okay, I'll round things out. Just thanks, everybody. One reminder is just that, you know, Valleytown is an HSReplay.net show, so definitely go to HSReplay.net, find your, you know, the perfect deck for your rank and region, you know, help you climb the ladder, and make sure you're using the best deck at the time. For all the folks that we had a good number of subs today, like during the stream, so thanks everybody for subbing today. And if you want to check out the show on audio, like on the way to work or whatever, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, as well as soundcloud.com/championview. So definitely be sure to search for that if you want to find us on your phone or wherever. And you can find the VODs on youtube.com/hsreplay.net, and you know, subscribe there so you can get notified anytime these VODs come up. But that's going to be it, guys, for this week. Oh, one last thing. Thanks for ZipRecruiter again for sponsoring this episode. They're awesome, too. Great job site. Go to ziprecruiter.com/valuetown. And that's going to be it for Tyler, Gara, and myself, Chairman B. We'll see you next week.